Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm your host, Dr. Tremaine Clarity. This podcast is focused on all aspects in education that are happening right here in the Roane Area School District.
Welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. I'm Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblom. Dr. Clarity is here with us as always, ready to talk with two of our students today.
How you doing, Marcy?
I'm doing great. At the time we're recording this, it is about to be spring break here in the Roane Area School District.
About time.
That's right. Dr. Clarity, what's one thing you're looking forward to over spring break?
Oh, you know, when spring break comes, I would say that it's bright, sunny weather, but we got some snow trickles headed our way right now. By the time you listen to this, hopefully those are all gone away. But otherwise, you know, father three and all three of them should be coming back. Just to spend a little time in the house, and then we're gonna just enjoy a little time together. But yeah, I also work over spring break because this is time for me to switch from the day to day to those projects that need a little more attention. So I'm looking forward to that as well.
All right, so a full house. I'll have one high school senior and one college student at home as well. So speaking of students, today we are joined by two of our high school students, and these students are part of one of the three advisories. There's a student advisory for middle school and high school students. Our guests today are part of that. There's a parent and family advisory and a staff advisory. And with that, let's have Dr. Clarity talk with our students.
All right. Again, welcome to In the Loop with the Soup. We're so excited to have two of our dynamic students here representing Roane Area High School, and more importantly, they're representing the student advisory that report directly to the superintendent. I can't tell you how great those opportunities are to engage with our students, because that's who we are here to serve. And without their voice, you can't make great leadership moves. So I'm gonna put before you, I have Sophie. Sophie is a senior over at Roane Area High School. And I have Sydney, who is a sophomore over at Roane Area High School. And she's probably traveled the world more than me at this time, but so congratulations to everything that both of you have accomplished, and welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Yeah, thank you.
Absolutely. So I'm gonna start with you, Sophie, as we think about the advisory experience, and what gave you interest? What made you want to be a part of the superintendent advisory overall?
I think having the direct connection to the superintendent has been really incredible, and just like coming into the meetings and talking directly to you and directly to all the staff that help make the changes are really helpful. And I think being able to make that direct change is really what drew me to being a part of the group.
Excellent. Sydney?
I think it's just having my voice being heard, and just like a lot of the students, because it's really important, because a lot of decisions are made about us that impact us. And so I think it's good to have us being in there.
Excellent. And I'll just be very, very honest, as I always am. The honor is mine to be able to be with our students. There's so much talent in the space, and there's so many wide perspectives. I think we're very well represented across multiple demographics in our space. So I get perspectives from that I may not always have. And you know, as I get a little older, and you know, I can't always assume that things were like they were when I was in school, and that's not the way I want to lead. And so having your voice and presence there means the world to me. And honestly, they're like the best days I have, is when I can get there. I always look forward to those days. We're going to think about not just your experience, but, you know, each of you are going to be on a college and career journey. And, you know, what are some of the things that you're thinking about, and how will you use what you learned in the advisory to take you on your journey? Sophie?
You know, I think that learning how to interact with people that are older than I am, and learning to interact with like adults in that space, has been really helpful, because I've been able to share my own opinions and then get feedback, and just working with my peers has also been super helpful in like growing my confidence in being able to like try to make change.
Excellent. That is the nicest way someone's ever called me old. I appreciate that. Cindy?
I think it's really the collaboration aspect, because we have students from different grades, and then like management, like our superintendent, and other staff, and I think just that community is really important and teaches us how to like interact with each other better.
That's great. Let's stay with you, Sydney. As you think about your experiences, what are some of your favorite academic areas? And then when you leave school, what are some of the things that you enjoy doing?
Yeah, so I really like history and math. And in the future, I want to be a pediatrician or something in the medical field.
Excellent. And Sophie, same question to you. Academic areas and what drives you outside of school as well?
Yeah, I also really like math and I like science a lot. So I want to do something in the medical field as well. Something mental health related to most likely. So like becoming a neurologist or something in that realm. And outside of school, I really like to run and hang out with my friends.
And Sophie's being very humble. She likes to run, but she's also a star. I love being able to attend the track meets and seeing you perform out there. We got a great season started. Right? And
yes.
Walk away with another championship this year?
Hopefully.
All right.
That's the goal.
Yeah, all right. So we're going to do something we've never done here on the End Loop of the Soup. We're going to switch it up. And you two get to take it over and do your interviews for me. So, Sophie, you want to start us out?
What is it a typical day like for you?
The great thing about being superintendent is there is no typical day. You and that's what brings me so much joy is that I know when you're responsible for the academic and emotional well-being of 5,888 students every single day, that there's always going to be something that's evolving and changing. It's a very fluid position. Everybody says I have a lot of meetings, and I do. I have a lot of meetings, but I also try to be very intentional to get into schools. I don't want the superintendent position to be like who is that person, or only time you see me is like at graduation and there's a signature on a diploma. I want to understand what's happening. I value our staff members tremendously. They do such great work here and serving our students every single day, and just be able to think of myself as how can I support our buildings to be able to do their best work. And I go in with that mindset, and obviously I deal with a great board of education, so I also deal with the political side of education as well, and enforcing, supporting the policies that are in place. But it's really being able to ensure that when I say that Verona Area School District is a national model for excellence, grounded in equity, that equity stays at the center of everything that we do. If I see disparities happen, do something about it. And work with our community to, so all their investments they've put in education come to life, and it's for our students. I genuinely care about each and every student in our organization. Thanks for your question, though.
Yeah. Have you always wanted to be a superintendent, or what brought you here?
Oh wow, that's a great question. So, when I was little, I think I wanted to be a chef, and then I realized I can't really cook. And then, but yeah, I just like kind of like just trying stuff and putting recipes together. And that was probably all through like middle and high school. And then when I was a football player, then I was fortunate enough to be able to play at the college level as well. And I just love coaching football. And if I wasn't doing this, I'd probably still be coaching football. But you know, as I truly believe that coaching is the purest form of teaching. Because of the human interaction, as well as the ability to deeply, help someone, guide someone to be their best, and that's what kind of pushed me into the classroom, and then from there, just wanting to be a leader, and if things aren't going the way that I want to do, then just step up and do it myself. But I've also tried to embrace. The opportunity to serve students, and my mom has sacrificed so much for me to be able to be where I am, and it was always a commitment for me to make, even at my age now, just to make sure that I never took for granted the doors that she opened for me and what she did to work two or three jobs to allow me to be in this space. So just working hard to serve others and paying that forward. So no, not necessarily a superintendent. Unfortunately, I didn't know who my superintendent was in school. And that was also something I wanted to do different. Is like I wanted to make sure that I was recognized and people knew that I was there for them. Yeah, appreciate that, so Sandy.
Yeah.
I was wondering, what led you to start the Superintendent's Council in the middle school and high school?
Yeah, so again, when you think about student voice, I really try to think of how do you capture student voice if you're not right there with our students, and and I don't feel like it's appropriate for me to make significant leadership moves without the insight of the very people that you're trying to serve. And so so I was thinking about structures that we could put together that allow that to happen, and that brought us to the student advisory. And as you know, I have a staff advisory and a parent advisory as well, because I wanted those perspectives in leadership. And it really has brought me closer to the community. But it came as a just kind of a vision of, if don't just talk about being committed to students, show that you want to be committed to students. And doing that at the secondary level has been solid. We thought about expanding to the elementary, and I still get into the elementary schools, but we'll I think some of the mindsets aren't always fully developed yet. So I think six through 12 is probably the way to go right now.
Yeah.
Okay. What are the most difficult things about being a superintendent?
Yeah. I think societally, not everyone is on the same equity journey that we are. And I wanted to serve as a shield to make sure that our deep equity work, to ensure that every student gets what they deserve in our organization, never gets taken away. And that's and those are things that I do, and I take pride in doing, but it sometimes it can take a toll on you, because if you feel like you're a human shield, it can wear on you at times. But when I know on the other end of that shield are students that are able to be their authentic selves in our spaces, I know that the work is right. So I wouldn't call it difficult in the sense that I would ever stop doing it. I would call it, just something that I'm always conscientious of in the work. And the responsibility, of ensuring the safety of every child in our organization is always something that's on my mind. I want safe conditions. I want every student to, when they walk in our door, from the moment they walk in to the moment that they step on their doorstep, that's my responsibility to make sure that they walk back in safe, and they've had a great experience. So it's more of the, I think it's the moment that you stop caring about that, you need to get out of education. And so again, pressure is not the right word for it. It's more just responsibility and ownership, and knowing that I have to own that work.
What education do you have to have after high school to become a superintendent?
Yeah, so usually you need a terminal degree, like a doctor, but I don't think it's mandated, but it's more an expectation in most places that you're going to get a superintendent position. So definitely a teaching degree, of course, because you want classroom experience, and you want to show that you're an instructional leader. We're teachers, so no matter what level. Definitely you must have a master's degree. And usually that's in educational leadership or in curriculum instruction or one of those areas. I actually got two masters, so I have a bachelor's, two masters, and then I got the doctorate in educational leadership. I got the second master's because I just wanted to make sure that my instructional lens was extremely strong, that I had that type of insight. So you don't need to have 4 degrees, but I do. I carry 4 degrees, and then the certifications as well. You get certifications along the way. It's a long journey.
Yeah.
What do you like best about being a superintendent?
What I'm doing right now. Yeah. Not the podcast, just talking to students. I love talking to students. It brings me joy. I love being at the events, whether it's a sporting event, the arts, all of our plays, musicals, seeing the talent. There's so much talent here in the Rural School District. Oh my gosh, it's so much talent. The African American History Challenge Bowl, that was just last Friday. When you know that the work that you're putting into this is coming to life because you see the results from our students, it's very, very exhilarating. I like being out in the community. if anyone says they like being behind their desk, I don't know what's wrong with them, because I don't know, no one likes to sit behind a desk and, you know, push papers. You want to be out working with students, working with staff, and ensuring that they have the tools to thrive in what we know to be the most diverse global society has ever existed. Yeah. Thank you.
What led you to Verona in the Verona Area School District?
You know, Verona is a place where you kind of hear about the magic, and then you come in and experience it. And so when the position came open, just my wife and I, so this was a little drive, and just no one knew I was going to apply, or I was just some making the decision, let's just go walk around, go into the grocery stores, talk to people, and not one person said anything bad about education here. And that was in the middle of a pandemic, you know, where things were pretty rough society-wise. And then as I began to think of the opportunities, as I began to look at the staffing, I was trying to find a place that I knew would be hopefully a permanent home for me. And if I would be very upset if anyone ever tried to use Verona School District as a stepping stone to somewhere else. You know, that's not what it's designed for. And then just when I saw all the potential, and I said, this is a space that you can put on the map and say, I think definitely in the state of Wisconsin and on the national level, we're good. And the students that walk out of here, that degree means something. And the opportunity to be the leader of an organization like that really inspired me. Of course, we have a long ways to go, but we're on a trajectory. And I challenge anyone to tell me somewhere better than a Verona Area School District, because I firmly believe there's not one. We're in the best place.
As the role of the superintendent, mm-hmm. For Verona, you oversee the elementary schools, the middle schools, and the high school. Mm-hmm. Even though that is a lot of fun, I'm sure, there is definitely a lot of pressure, I feel like. Mm-hmm. So how do you make time for yourself?
Wow, thanks for asking that. Wow. Do I take enough time for myself? What's great for me is that my wife's also an educator, and she works. I'm not gonna name the district she works in, but she's also an educator, and she works at a cabinet level. She's a director of secondary. So even when I'm away, I can still work on my passion of education, because our household just talks education. One of our daughters is already is a practicum student preparing to be an educator. She'll be a bilingual educator. So it's just kind of who we are. And I tell people, like, our friends, like, if you come over, we're going to talk about education. So I don't know what else that we do. But I do. I love to travel. And I have really tried to take a more immersive view of cultures around us. So when I go somewhere, I don't want to do like the tourist stuff. I want to enjoy the culture. I want to understand customs, and I want to understand the values and respect of the cultures around me. And I bring that also back to the way I work. So my self-care is being able to kind of like mentally go, but when I'm gone, it's about learning and valuing cultures that I have not been exposed to yet, and that's been a great joy. It's a great question.
Thank you.
How has being a parent impacted you in the role of superintendent?
Being a parent was probably one of the defining moments in me being a better educator overall, because I was able to have that perspective of service to parents as well. And there's educating, and then when it's your own and you're seeing your children navigate the educational system, you understand where things are broken, and you understand where things are great. So that was definitely eye-opening. I was one of those that get teary-eyed and drop off, because, you know, whether it's 4K or first day of kindergarten, you know, you're like, oh, I'm tough, and it's gonna be fine. You're like, oh my gosh, put the sunglasses on, because, you know, you're really that and that's why I respect, I have so much respect for the parent. You're really turning your child who you love, you know, who you love to death, over to someone else to take care of for, you know, 6, 7, 8 hours in a day. And so they asked for that responsibility. So yeah, the parenthood was, helped me fulfill and understand that full range of responsibility that I have, that I need to care for someone else's child as if they were mine.
Besides the student and parent advisories, how else do you connect with students and parents?
Again, it's really about being in public spaces at a lot of the events. If there's an event that's going on, I try to be there, engage, say hi, talk, engage, and I'm more introverted, honestly, but I try to overcome the introvert because I know it's important for me to engage. I think some people just have a natural gift of gab. I don't have the natural gift of gab, but I also understand that it's my responsibility to be the conversation starter and make myself available. So it's something that I just needed to mentally overcome, and it's not natural. Some people can just walk up and talk all day long, and I'm not probably doing it now, but it's not natural for me, so it's something I had to work on. Cool. Time for one more question.
What was the first goal you had for the Verona School District when you came here?
Yeah, so our very first theme that we had was a time for healing. There was so much, I would say, societal damage happening that I knew was resonating in the schools. Unfortunately, when people were hurting during the pandemic and probably still hurting, there was a lot of blame on science, and there was a lot of blame on educators. And educators that didn't deserve the blame for any of what was going on. They were trying to take care of themselves and their families, and also still trying to serve students sometimes across a screen or asynchronous and all those things. And I felt like it was really damaging. You saw an exodus of great staff leaving the field of education. And so my number one goal was to bring a culture of healing and a humanistic approach to, like, I care deeply about you as a professional, and more importantly, I care about you as a person. And what I really wanted, that culture, and I think that is over the last 3 years has permeated where we've got a culture of care and a deeper understanding that it's, you should look out for the person next to you and expect to receive that respect too. So that, yeah, coming out, that was the very first thing I wanted to, is make sure that while we may not could fix the whole world of education, we could definitely fix what was happening here in the Verona School District and make sure everyone felt valued. Excellent. Wow. Great questions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fantastic.
Marcy?
Yeah. Sophie and Sydney, I want to thank you for being here today. And like Dr. Clarity said, we really value hearing the voice of the people we're serving. For our listeners who are parents or staff or community members, when we post this podcast, you should have an email in your inbox that gives you a chance to participate in a climate survey. We want to hear about your experiences so we can learn and grow from them. So we invite you to participate in that survey. And that information, just like the information that comes from the student advisory members, really helps us inform our decision making and our planning for the future. So again, thank you to our amazing students who are here today. And I am Marcy Pfeiffer-Soderblum. Thank you for listening to In the Loop with the Soup.